This is Robert Ralston speaking, and I'm speaking here at Kosciuszko, Mississippi, at the Magnolia Bible Center. And I'm in Cecil May Jr.'s academic building and inviting people throughout all of central Mississippi to come in today and to enjoy a study regarding why we need to have training school departments on top of all the other Bible departments in the school program of the local church. By collecting gospel materials and teach effectively the hows of faithful and special service, the congregations where you worship will have the advantage of one greater depth of Bible study from trained class teachers, two better organized, thus understood sermons from trained preachers, three more in-depth sermon material from trained preachers, and four better home Bible studies conducted by trained personal workers, and five greater spiritual awareness by any trained member. When we began a specialty school within the local church over 30 years ago, in fact, it's been 48 years ago now, we began by collecting written and spoken material on the topics which we felt that Christian men and women could study and grow spiritually. We experimented with various times as we met to listen to and discuss such religious material. From Sunday afternoons to various days and nights of the week, we finally settled on Saturday evenings. You will have to experiment some to find the best meeting time for you. We worked over 23 years, from 1970 to 1993, before adding the correspondence work in which individuals could be reached out and they didn't have to attend a particular meeting as much as they could enter into the correspondence work. And just now, you will start extra meeting times if you desire to have a training school department on top of the other Bible school departments. Even this week, some of the finest material will be presented in Bible lectureship formats. Call others together for extra study time. Ask the students to practice preach and practice teach and practice personal work discussions. And after a few of these meetings, you will see growth very quickly. A method that we use back through the years is a method you might see the need to have. By having students choose at random a Bible character, a Bible topic, a Bible city, a Bible book, a Bible chapter, a verse, you can begin an extra study session sure to provide growth for all. At your first meeting, ask the student to read some collected material about that chosen subject, a Bible character, a topic, a city, a book of the Bible, a verse of the Bible. As a result of that, you will hear everybody in the class will be hearing that common information read to them. At the second meeting of that class, ask the student to go a little deeper in some facet of the study. Go a little deeper and provide perhaps an example in the Bible of someone or some situation that illustrates that topic, Adam and temptation, for example. On the third meeting, ask the student to make some applications to today's world. Adam's situation and the temptation that he faced and how we are tempted by sight and by pleasures and by allowing others to lead us. Each week, each student will hear the others getting a little deeper each week, and with the third week making the practical applications, you can't help but see the growth that will take place. A training school program is special. We started out with training gospel preachers. My late father-in-law and I, Brother William H. Hull, started this out prior to 1970. I was dating his oldest daughter. We found an opportunity to talk about Bible and preaching things, and he thought that I had a gift and encouraged me to work with him at a special school. That school would have helped those men who worked in the fields or worked in the factory that wanted to preach the gospel somewhere, wanted to help the cause of the Lord somewhere where they lived. He said they'll never leave that because at that time, back in the mid-1960s, the schools were entering into a study of ACT scores in order to admit students. And if those students were admitted and did not perform in the highest level, the colleges would soon say, take a year off or a part of a year off and study how to study. As a result of that, you'll make better grades, better scores, and it'll be a better representation of the school to the various certified programs that would honor that school and recognize that school later on. But he noted to me, Brother Hull said, these men have been out of study a long time. And he said, they will just simply not leave their jobs and their careers that support their family, their wife and children, to take a chance on being a part of a school program, not making the grade and having to sit out a semester or two in order to study how to study better. As a result, they need a school program that can train them and teach them sometime during the course of the week. Like I said, we went through many days, Sunday afternoons and Mondays and Tuesdays, and we finally settled on Saturday evening to do the training program. And it was a good time for those men at that time to be in there. We met at 8 o'clock. Can you imagine that late hour? We met at 8 o'clock, and we had those people to come in and be a part of that program. As a result of that, they could grow in this. And as a result of that growth, they could find themselves preaching the gospel better, more effectively, and we would recognize that there might be congregations in the immediate area, say within 30 miles of driving, that would need someone to fill in from time to time and give the local preacher a break, or fill in from time to time because the local preacher had left them and they didn't have a local preacher. As a result of that, these men could then go out and they could preach in those services, be with them, and later on perhaps they could be far enough along that we would grant them a certificate that would be a certificate of achievement or a certificate of completion that would be honored by the local church. And by the way, it's still honored even today in this year of 2018. It's still honored by local congregations. And they could go out and become full-time preachers. They might hold their job and make their career a second career there. They might leave that particular job and find this career in preaching the gospel to be more effective and much more in harmony with what they loved. And as a result of that, they could become full-time preachers in a short period of time, a couple of years of time, by the studies that we would do with them. What do we do in regard to the presentations? Well, we did the presentations based upon the Bible, gospel minutes, bulletin articles from local congregations, study books that were recommended and guided to us by the various bookstores. We had a wonderful set of materials, but short order, when we began to ask others about how to do this and what to do and so forth. Brother Hull later on talked to one of his wonderful friends. And this good brother, V.E. Howard, was well noted for the Are You Listening part of his radio broadcast. And as a result of that, he said to Brother Howard, we were starting a school and we had to photocopy materials that were in that day and time not very good photocopy type things. And he said, we kind of need to have the same text in the people's hands. And that's all he did, he said. And Brother Howard said, that's a great idea and a good idea, and I wish you the best in it. Later on, Brother Hull lived upon, he and his wife and family, lived upon Highway 1, just north of Jonesboro, Arkansas, between there and Paragu, between there actually and Brooklyn, Arkansas. And one day, a man drove up in a pickup, in a tractor-trailer rig. He parked by the side of the road out there that had very little of a shoulder of the road. He put his lights on and everything, and he got his dolly out, and he exited from the back of that trailer, books by the box. I mean, there were 10 or 12 that he had right there on a dolly. He rolled it up the little driveway, knocked at the door, rang at the door. Brother Hull went to the door to see what was commotion outside and who was there. And the gentleman said, Well, I've got you some trees out here. And I got you some glue. And Brother Hull said, trees and glue? I didn't order trees and glue. He said, that's what they make books out of, isn't it? You've got boxes and boxes of books that somebody wants you to have. And they've sent it to you. And I'm here delivering it at the door. Where can I set it? Inside the door. With that, he pushed the dolly inside. They unloaded right there in the foyer of the building, of the house. He went back and he got another load of books, another load of boxes. And he went back a third time and he finished up his chore. And he said, I know the people driving up down Highway 1 need me to be out of their way. So I bid you farewell and I wish you the best with this gift that someone has sent you. It turned out to be that Brother Howard had sent the books and materials to my late father-in-law, Brother Hull. We began to give each one the same book. When we asked them to turn to page 12, 12 said the same thing on every book. When we asked them to turn to page 115, it was on the same page, the same thing, same reading, same information. We practiced preach, we practiced talk classes, we used some good techniques in that. I'll talk about that in just a few minutes of time. But we did that with those men, and Brother Hull worked with some 12 men over there in Arkansas at the time. And I was working with four young men there in Rouville, Mississippi, where I was local preacher, with my new wife, Miss Jane, the daughter of Brother Hull. Here we were, doing the work, doing the preparation, and it was an interesting thing to have it done. All we had to do was mention to people that we were doing this. And there were some funds that came. For what do we use those funds? The same thing we do today. Stamps cost a little something. Envelopes cost a little something. Papers that you reproduce, you copy, that paper cost a little something. And as a result, we had the funds together and we all worked together in that regard. Brother Hull noted to me one day, he said, you know what? He said, we've got enough going on here with this teaching work and these books and booklets and all like this. He said, we really need to have the monies and wherewithal to go further. Some of these men need a little gas money to drive in here. Some of them need a little money to buy a Bible that they don't have, a better study Bible than they have for their preaching and teaching the gospel. He said, we need to share with them and help them if we can. He said, I know that you will, I will, we will share. But I know that it's the obligation of members of the church everywhere to do what they can do. And so, let's invite others to come along with us and share in this. Let's tell them what we're going to do. And he said, I'll tell you what, let's run this school program financially. Just like we ran the cemetery fund up in West Virginia. He was a native of Fairmont, West Virginia. And he was familiar with the way that they did the cemetery funds. Cemeteries themselves do not stay well arranged and well mowed and so forth without somebody spending some money for gasoline and a lawnmower and a trailer and something to get the vehicle there. Well, in this matter, he noted that they set up there a sign on the post outside the cemetery. And it noted, if you see this cemetery not collected good or grass is high, you'll know that we didn't have the funds to purchase the gasoline to put in the lawnmower to do the mowing. And therefore, what happened was that the grass grew. And the graves were not filled in. Some of them had the dirt that rains would come and it would melt the dirt, and as a result it would go down on the casket rather than have it filled in. And to have a little dirt cost a little something for somebody to dump it and come in there and dump it and have a shovel to put it in and everything to put it in the grave. All that was a part of the thing. And he said, what we did was we set up a fund and we asked people, if you see it this way, if you can donate to it, please do, and help us out in this regard, and it'll be different the next time you come to the cemetery. He said, we're always in the black. We're never in the red. We never charged ahead of time. We told people what we were going to do, and he said, you know what? the cemeteries in West Virginia were taken care of in a wonderful way. Well, we began that program, and we've never had to do anything different. We told people about what we were going to do. We advertised it. Each year we would send out a report to various supporters of us, plus a few others, and they would learn about it. And they would begin to have benefactors from those local congregations to send donations and contributions to the Training School for Better Service program. How did we come up with the name, Training School for Better Service? Well, Brother Hull had worked in Memphis, Tennessee, during the time in the 50s in the which they had the Training for Service series, when they got the better a part of the teachers together. They shared things about how they taught in the infantry, the infant class. They taught how they did the teenagers. They had taught about how they taught the young adults. Others, methods that they did beside lecture with the adults. They would come together and they would share that information for maybe several days of time. It was called the Training for Service series. He said, I have an idea for the school program, Training School for Better Service. I checked with the state of Mississippi, and I checked with the people there in regard to what to do. And they told me that so far as it was a part of a local congregation accepted by local churches, go ahead and do this thing. You don't need anything of our permission to get underway to do that. So that's what we've done. Now then, we have some anonymous donors as of the last year, 2017-2018, that have made possible a whole lot more a funding of the Bible lecture programs and discussion programs that we have. They made it for us to replace the old equipment that has gone through the years of work, but at the same time, that old equipment had cost a little something at that time, but it died now. It needed to be replaced. And just last year, 2017, we had an anonymous donor that donated a good bit of funds, in fact, up to $5,000. We had the money available to replace various pieces of equipment, copiers and the like, that had died on us. We didn't have any way of having it updated. But now then, we had the funds to update it and still had some money left over. The same thing is true this year, 2018. We don't know who Anonymous is. We don't know how many Anonymouses there are. But we do know we're thankful to God for their love of this program and what we're trying to do. And we continue to utilize those funds. That's why I'm here now at Magnolia Bible Center in the Cecil May Academic Building and using this to share with the individuals who come today how to set up a school program and pay the cost of it. Thus it is the information for you that it does cost. It costs time as well as money. It costs a day in which you find that time to meet with those people. Like I said earlier, we met on Sunday afternoon. We had to meet, though, in order to have a program, a teaching situation with those who came that time. Fewer of them came on that particular afternoon. Fewer came on Monday nights or Tuesday night. But more people came on Saturday evening. From several miles away, they drove in, and wonderful, wonderful teaching and preaching was done. I learned a lot of things. I don't teach it the same way today as I did at that time. I don't use the same methodologies to emphasize something today as I did at that time. But I'll tell you this, it's been received very well through the years. We went on from the gospel preacher phase of teaching to the Bible class teacher phase of teaching, to the home study, personal worker study. We went on to the specialty topical student who wanted to work just one subject. Maybe it's the subject of Matthew or the subject of the Holy Spirit or the subject of the judgment or whatever one subject it is. They become students of that particular topic and get a certificate in that regard. The leadership phase of elders and deacons of the church is important. The biblical counselor who shows God's word teaching how to be people, like you read in Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer, a gentle answer, turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And so we need to teach people how to use gentle words rather than words that stir up anger. And so it is that we have biblical counselor phase. Christian ladies phase began in one of the years, later on up in the 90s. And Christian ladies phase emphasized how the Christian woman would be a part of teaching program and preach and speaking program in regard to the ladies events that would take place. Ladies days and teaching and speaking situations would be in their lot. Christian youth, we had some young people that really wanted to study how to grow up as young people. And as a result of that, some of them desired to be a youth minister in a congregation. They would be hired and be utilized to be sure that the young people were well cared for. They asked, were there some special things for them to be a youth minister besides the youth growth? Say, oh yes. The youth minister needs to go to the adults and get permission to house their children and away from home and things like that. And as a result of that, we have the youth ministry phase. 9 phases of study are a part of our Training School for Better Service program. That's enough to talk about the cost of things and the printing of things and the stamps to advertise it and the help to those students who obviously don't have the gas money to drive in or they don't have the money to purchase a good study book or Bible. We can share with them from benefactors who love what we're trying to do and support what we're trying to do. Thank you for your time of study with us in regard to this particular topic. The first of the phases of the study will come up next in the gospel preaching phase.